Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast.
Now, welcome to Through the Bible with Joe McGee. We're going from Genesis to Revelation in chronological order, as it happened, not as it was written. And it is an exciting journey. We're taking it kind of like as it happened in the Bible. So they do make, believe it or not, chronological Bibles written in the order that it took place. So what we're doing, we're plowing through the book of Numbers, and we're almost out of it, believe it or not. But Numbers is an exciting book. It's the last book before we get to Deuteronomy, all the laws. And so it sets up what God was doing and why he did what he did. So it explains so much when you go through and read it. So we're picking up in Numbers chapter 30 today. Numbers chapter 30. We've kind of skipped over a lot of the offerings, the festival of trumpets, the Day of Atonement, festival of shelters. God had a celebration for everything. So he's coming down now to the laws concerning vows. You know, when you make a promise something, you're supposed to keep it. So we're starting out in Numbers chapter 30, verse 1. Numbers chapter 30, verse 1. Then Moses summoned the leaders of the tribes of Israel and told them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. A man who makes a vow to the Lord or makes a pledge under oath must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do." God's real big on words. Verse 3. If a young woman makes a vow to the Lord or a pledge under oath while she is still living at her father's home, and her father hears of the vow or a pledge and does not object to it, then all the vows and pledges will stand. But if her father refuses to let her fulfill her vow, the pledge, the day he hears of it, and the vows and pledges become invalid. The Lord will forgive her because her father would not let her fulfill them. Now, suppose a young woman makes a vow, binds herself with an impulsive pledge, and later marries. If her husband hears of her vow and her pledge, he does not object to the day he hears of it, and vows and pledges will stand. But if her husband refuses to accept her vow or impulsive pledge on the day he hears of it, he nullifies her commitment, and the Lord will forgive her. If, however, a woman is a widow or is divorced, she must fulfill all her vows and pledges. Verse 10, but suppose a woman is married and living in her husband's home, and she makes a vow or binds herself with a pledge. If her husband hears of it and does not object to it, her vow or pledge will stand. But if her husband refuses to accept it on the day he hears of it, her vow or pledge will be nullified, and the Lord will forgive her. So her husband may either confirm or nullify any vows or pledges she makes to deny herself. Now, this gets real detailed. It's really, really good. But if he does not object on the day he hears of it, then he is agreeing to all of her vows and pledges. If he waits more than a day and he tries to nullify the vow or pledge, he will be punished for her guilt. These are the regulations the Lord gives Moses concerning relationships between a man and a wife, between a father and a young daughter who still lives at home. Chapter 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, "On behalf of the people of Israel, take revenge on the Midianites for leading them into idolatry. After that, you will die and join your ancestors." So this is the last thing God gave Moses to do before he's going to go to heaven. So Moses said to the people, "Choose some men, arm them to fight. The Lord's war revenge against Midian. From each tribe of Israel, send 1,000 men into battle." So they chose 1,000 men from each tribe. A total of 12,000 men were armed for battle. Then Moses sent them out, 1,000 from each tribe. And the 88 of the priests led them in the battle. They carried on the holy objects of the sanctuary, the trumpets for sounding the charge. They attacked Midian as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they killed all the men, all five of the Midianite kings. They also killed Balaam, son of Beor, with a sword. Then the Israelite army captured Midianite women and children and seized her cattle and her flocks and the wealth and their plunder. They burned all their towns, their villages, where the Midianites had lived. After they gathered all the plunder and the captives, both people and animals, they brought them to Moses and Eleazar, the priest, to the whole community of Israel, which was camped in the plains of Moab beside the Jordan River across from Jericho. Moses, Eleazar, the priest, and all the leaders of the community went to meet outside the camp. But Moses was furious with all the generals and captives who had returned from battle. "Why have you let these women live?" he demanded. "These are the very ones who followed Balaam's advice and caused the people of Israel to rebel against the Lord at Mount Peor. They are the ones who caused the plague to strike the Lord's people. So kill all the boys, all the women who've had intercourse with the man. Only the young girls who are virgins may live. You may keep them for yourselves, and all them, and all you who have killed anyone or touched a dead body must stay outside the camp for 7 days. You must purify yourselves and your captives on the third day and the 7 days. Purify all your clothing too, everything made of leather, goat hair, or wood." Then Eleazar the priest said to the men and the women who were in the battle, "The Lord has given Moses this legal requirement. Anything made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, tin, or lead, that is all metals that do not burn, must be passed through the fire in order to be made ceremonially pure. These metal objects must then be further purified with the water purification, but everything that burns must be purified by the water alone. On the seventh day, you must wash your clothes and be purified. Then you may return to camp." So this is the vision of the plunder. Then the Lord said to Moses, "You and Eleazar the priest, and the family leaders of each tribe are to make a list of the plunder taken in battle, including the animals and the people. Then divide the plunder in two parts. Give half to the men who fought in the battle and the rest to the people. From the army's portion, first give the Lord's share of the plunder, one of every 500 of the prisoners, and the cattle, the donkeys, the sheep, and the goats. Give this share of the army's half to Eleazar the priest as an offering to the Lord. From the half that belongs to the people of Israel, take one of every 50 of the prisoners and the cattle and the donkeys and the sheep and the other animals. Give this share to the Levites who are in charge of maintaining the Lord's tabernacle." So Moses and Eleazar and the priest did as the Lord commanded. Verse 32, the plunder remaining from everything the fighting men had taken totaled 675,000 sheep and goats, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, and 32,000 virgin girls. Half the plunder was given to the fighting men. It totaled 337,500 sheep and goats, of which 675 were the Lord's share, 36,000 cattle, of which 72 were the Lord's share, 30,500 donkeys, of which 61 were the Lord's share, and 16,000 virgins, of whom 32 were the Lord's share. Moses gave all the Lord's share to Eleazar the priest, as the Lord had directed him. Half the plunder belonged to the people of Israel, and Moses separated the other half belonged to the fighting men. It totaled 337,500 sheep and goats, 36,000 cattle, 30,500 donkeys, 16,000 virgin girls. From a half share given to the people, Moses took one of every 50 prisoners and animals, gave the Levites, which maintained the Lord's tabernacle. All this was done as the Lord commanded. Then all the generals and captains came to Moses and said, "We, your servants, have accounted for all the men who went into the battle under our command. Not one of us is missing. So we're presenting the items of gold we captured as offerings to the Lord from our share of the plunder: armbands, bracelets, rings, earrings, necklaces. This will purify our lives before the Lord, make us right with him." Verse 51, so Moses and Eleazar the priest received the gold from the military commanders, all kinds of jewelry, crafted objects, and all the gold that the generals and captains presented as a gift from the Lord weighed about 420 pounds. All the fighting men had taken from the plunder themselves. So Moses and Eleazar, the priests, accepting the gifts from the generals and the captains, brought the gold to the tabernacle as a reminder to the Lord that the people of Israel belonged to him. Chapter 32, verse 1. The tribes of Reuben and Gad owned vast numbers of livestock. So when they saw the lands that Jazer and Gilead were ideally suited for their flocks and herds, they came to Moses, Eleazar the priest, and other leaders of the community. They'll say, notice the towns. The Lord has conquered this whole area in the community of Israel. It is ideally suited for our livestock. If we have found favor with you, please let us have this land as our property, sending to give us land across the Jordan River. You intend to stay here while your brothers go across and do all the fighting, Moses asked. Why do you discourage the rest of the people, Israel, from going across the land the Lord has given them? Your ancestors did the same thing when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. Have they all went up in the valley? They discouraged the people from entering the land the Lord was giving them. Then the Lord was very angry with them and vowed, of all those I rescued from Egypt, not one who is 20 years of age and older will ever see the land I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for they have not obeyed me wholeheartedly. The only exceptions are Caleb and Joshua. He always stood out. Verse 13, the Lord was very angry with Israel, made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years, until the entire generation that sinned in the Lord's sight had died. But here you are, a brood of sinners, doing exactly the same thing. You're making the Lord even angrier with Israel. If you turn away from him like this and he abandons them again in the wilderness, you'll be responsible for destroying this entire nation. Verse 16, but they approached Moses and said, we simply want to build pens for our livestock, fortified towns for our wives and children. Then we will arm ourselves and we will lead our fellow Israelites into battle until we brought them back safely into their land. Meanwhile, our families will stay in fortified towns we build here, and they will be safe from attacks from the local people. We will not return to our homes till all the people of Israel have received their portions of land, but we do not claim any of the land on the other side of the Jordan. We would rather live here on the east side, except this is our grant of land. Then Moses said, if you keep your word and arm yourselves for the Lord's battles, if your troops cross the Jordan, keep fighting until the Lord has driven out its enemies. Then you may return to the Lord, when the Lord has conquered the land and fulfilled your duty to the Lord, to the rest of the people of Israel. And the land on the east side of the Jordan River will be your property from the Lord. But if you fail to keep your word, then you will have sinned against the Lord. You may be sure your sin will find you out. Go ahead and build your towers for your families and your pens for your flocks and everything that you've been promised. Then the men of Gad and Reuben replied, we, all your servants, will follow your instructions exactly. Our children, wives, flocks, and cattle will stay here in the towns of Gilead, but all who are able will bear arms, cross over and fight for you just like we promised. So Moses gave orders. Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the leaders of the clans of Israel. He said, the men of Gad and Reuben who are armed for battle must cross the Jordan with you and fight for the Lord. If they do, give them the land of Gilead as their property when the land is conquered. But if they refuse to arm themselves and cross over with you, they must accept the rest of this land of Canaan. The tribes of Gad and Reuben said again, we are your servants. We will do as the Lord has commanded. We will cross the Jordan and the Canaan fully armed and fight for the Lord, but our property will remain on this side of the Jordan. They'd seen a good piece of land. They wanted to keep it. So this is how it ends up. So Moses assigned the land to the tribes of Gad and Reuben, half the tribe of Manasseh, sons of Joseph. He gave them the territory, the whole land with cities and surrounding lands. Verse 34, the descendants of Gad built the towns and then fortified their pens and flocks. The descendants of Reuben built their towns and they changed the names of some of the towns they conquered and rebuilt. Then the descendants, the tribes of Manasseh, went to Gilead and conquered it. They drove out the Amorites living there. So Moses gave Gilead to the Machrites, the descendants of Manasseh, and they settled there. The people of Jair, another clan of the tribe of Manasseh, captured many towns in Gilead and changed the name of that region, the town of Jair. Meanwhile, a man named Jobah captured the town of Kenah, the surrounding villages. He renamed it Jobah after himself. What's that? A lot of stuff going on. What we did when I was a school administrator, we wrote charts, and it'd be good for you to do. Take each chapter, and we would write who's involved in this chapter, who's God talking about, what's he doing to them, what's he doing with them, who got blessed, and who got cursed. And we would just put it on a big poster board. So we'd write out, well, this chapter is about, you know, Israel's returning, and it's about where they're going, what they got given, who got what and why they got it, who didn't get what and why they didn't get it. And if you do it methodically like this, and we did it on a big piece of poster board, and we would put rings on them, we put it on a big stand. So we would take each chapter of Numbers going through. So you got all these chapters. This chapter is about the tribes east of Jordan. This chapter is about the conquest of the Midianites. And so all of a sudden, when we did that, we had so many high school kids say, oh, Mr. McGee, that made sense. Oh, that makes sense. We connected the dots. I used to tell people, you know, when we would teach chemistry or biology, the book's real thick, and it's just so depressing. Like, oh, my goodness, I picked biology. That book is just thicker than Moses. And so what we would do on the first day of school, we'd say, okay, get your book out. Look at the front cover. We'd all look at the front cover. Turn it over, look at the back cover. Open it up to the index. Let's read the index together. And then I said, okay, let's all together start turning the pages. Now, you just starting around page 17 or 18. Turn the page, chapter 1, and turn the page 28, 29, 30, 30. And we would just come through the pages real fast. I said, what are you doing? Well, we're building a book. This is the front cover. This is the back cover. This is the table of contents. This is what the book's about. And so the first day of class, which is a 50-minute class, we simply quickly went through the book. And so we're sort of building a frame. Oh, this goes here. So when you take the first chapter of biology, it's about the human cell. Well, nobody cares about the human cell. But the first day of class, we went from the human cell to the full body at the end of the book. Now, we're just flipping pages real quick, but we realize it's like a video. Oh, so it's a human cell, then we got the bone, then we got the muscle, then we got the sinew, then we got the skin, and then we got the brain, and we got the heart, and we got all the... And all of a sudden, after the first day of class, you realize, oh, this class is about the human body. Oh, the next day, it's about the human cell. I know where this is going. I don't like it anymore, but I understand it. And so when you read the Bible, you kind of like just take it one chapter at a time, one book at a time. What's this about? This is the history of God's people. It's very important. There's no one book more important than another book, but it's very important to listen and learn. So get your Bible open. Start somewhere. Now, me, I'm sort of different. Anybody I lead to the Lord now, I used to go to the book of John. I still love the book of John. It's a great book. But now I go to the book of Revelation, and I started by reading the book of Revelation. Why? Well, I want to know how the movie ends. When I married Angel, every time we'd sit to watch no movie, I said, well, how does it end? She said, well, I'm not going to tell you. I said, I'm not going to watch it. I don't watch a movie unless I know how it ends. If it doesn't end good, I'm not going to watch the beginning of it. So we're trying to find where it's going. So I don't watch a movie that does not have a good ending. In the Bible, we end good. We're in heaven, in a big pyramid city, streets paved with gold, fruit hanging off the trees, having a big dinner. It's an incredible, incredible story. And we're going to rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. This is existing planet. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible is full of great stuff, but Revelation is a great place to start. So then if you read Revelation, Genesis makes more sense. Exodus makes more sense. I know where it's going. So I tell people, start in Revelation. It'll excite you and get you real excited. Guys, thanks for listening today. We enjoyed being with you. Tune in next time.
Be sure to join
God
us
bless.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.